Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living and, well, tonight, listening to the Cognitive Rampage. Hope you're having a good evening if you're listening to this podcast later on iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean, anywhere else. Hope you're having a good day or night or, well, wherever you are listening to this podcast. I actually was going to start this podcast off with a little reading that I did today. That I was going to share with you about courage, that is, and see if you like it as much as I did. It opens with a quote from Rollo May. Courage is not the absence of despair. It is rather the capacity to move ahead in spite of despair. Some days we wake up to overwhelming feelings. Things look bleak. We see loss and danger around us, and we fear for the future. That is when our character is most tested. That is when we are called to continue to just put one foot in front of the other. There is no need to solve all of our problems right away or to change the world immediately. Courage isn't necessarily a feeling of confidence that we can triumph over all the odds. It is knowing that we can move ahead one step at a time. And it is taking positive action in the face of our fears. Each day, we can do small things that are constructive. By these small things, we can place ourselves on the positive side of life's equation. We can put our weight where we want to go. That is courage. Perhaps say to yourself, today in the face of my despair, I will focus my efforts on the side of my hopes and values. Just a small inspiration reading. It's not that I'm feeling despair or anything like that. Maybe you are. Maybe that's something that may help you put one foot in front of the other today. So a question I do have for you, a question I asked myself, and I don't know, maybe I ask myself too often and sets me in some mind frame I probably shouldn't be in, but the question that I pondered on myself in reality really is, if you knew you were taking your final breaths, what would those thoughts be? What would those thoughts really be? Now, I know you may have the answer you think you're supposed to say. Well, I would worry about my kids. Hope my wife or my husband is okay. Or something like that. These are the things, perhaps, maybe will be your last thoughts and your last breaths. Or maybe you may just be screaming, holy shit. You know, it's a scary thing to think about, really. And a lot of times we go on with our lives not thinking about it, but I wonder, would your last thoughts be something like, well, thank God I traveled to New York. Thank God I bought the S-Class. Would it be, thank God I went to this place or that place? Would it be, well, at least I bought that big house? Would it be those thoughts, those things that perhaps stress us out day in and day out? The bill we had to pay, would you ponder and perhaps say, oh, I forgot to pay the power bill? Or would you really wonder about your kids, or your wife or your husband? Would that really be your last thought? or last thoughts. You see, I say those things because, well, day in and day out, we all, myself included, stress about things we want to obtain and experiences we want to have. And, you know, it was pretty trendy lately, and still now it is, to say, well, you know, I don't buy things, I have experiences. Well, listen, you try to have an experience on this planet without having to spend a dime. I don't even know how much money we spent just being at the beach for my birthday and throwing a party. The best things in life are free, you might say, right? Yeah, possibly. Is love free? One of the best things we may believe we have? Or does that cost you? Does it cost you dreams you have in your life? Does it cost you time doing things you love to do? Right? These are the thoughts that I have, right? The best things in life are free. Well, that trip to New York that you took, or to Ireland, or wherever your dream destination is or was, certainly wasn't free, and you know that. So about experiences, you know, I have a feeling it's just something marketing did. I've referenced a paper I wrote in college many times on this podcast when I talked about how marketing was the end of our human civilization. It was a rather dark topic, I understand, but when you think about it in the long run, over time, marketing begins to wear on you. What you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to have, it shapes our culture today. With the influence now of social media, etc., a road I'm not going to try to go down right now, but you understand what I'm saying. All the way back when Marlboro cigarettes and Lucky Brand were out and the cool people were smoking, well, most of the world was smoking then. The influence that marketing has on the human psyche is, well, downright terrifying in many ways. But I think we started to catch on to that. We started to see what's cool, but yet still celebrities and super sports stars still advertise and represent brands and names. And now we have Instagram influencers representing and selling products that way, and reality TV stars doing the same thing, and music stars doing that as well. So, well, it still works. Otherwise, they wouldn't pay millions and millions of dollars to convince people to use some product they probably don't need. But for the most part, some people have caught on to the idea of buying things. Sometimes just accumulates more things in your head. There's been a ton of books written on accumulating things, how it just costs you more money. You have to buy a bigger house to put all of the stuff you just bought in, and then storage units to store the stuff you're probably never going to use again. Sometimes I drive down the street that I live in and the garage doors are open, and I look at all of that shit in people's garage. And so we've caught on to that possibly, right? That we don't accumulate stuff, although we still are a consumption society. We buy and buy, and it makes us feel good. It makes it feel like the rat race that we are in currently has some sort of purpose, some sort of goal to it. The business we are building, or the success we hope to achieve. There are endless amounts of memes and quotes that I see constantly running through social media about success and being at the top and winning and so forth. But back to the experience thing. That's a really good marketing angle, if you ask me. I mean, tourist dollars that come in from travel. This is another thing, and I know it's going to poke people hard every once in a while, but when I talk about how travel, okay, you can get cultured and you can see things, but often I wonder, was that sold to you too? Was it sold to you that travel brings culture and teaches you things about the world? Sure. I'm not saying there aren't positives to most things that I'm going to talk about or the other side of it either, but they certainly cost you money. You certainly have to buy the airfare or put the gas in the car to get there, or you can pedal your bike if you'd like, or you can pull the Forrest Gump move and give it a run, see if you can make it there. There are some people that are doing some extreme things like that. But the experience is what they sell you to. And so often, whether it's consumption and buying the next biggest thing or the thing you're into, or I have to have that experience, or perhaps the concert you just must see, or the festival you just have to go to. Maybe even competence nowadays, knowledge, gaining knowledge somehow, is now also a product being sold. Come to my seminar. Hell, buy my book. Marketing has found a way to just about infect every single thing that we do, which infects most of our decisions, and I often wonder how much of that marketing, well, creates a cognitive dissonance and a blindness in what we do every single day to the next day, down until our last breaths. And I ask you that about your last breaths because perhaps that is the only moment in time where we are not persuaded by the social constructs of what we are supposed to say, what we're supposed to think, because even now if you respond of saying, well, my kids or my wife, this is the thing to say, I understand, don't get me wrong, this is what we are supposed to say, but I often wonder in that last moment or breaths that you're taking, would it really be that? Would you flash through your childhood? I thought I was taking my last breath once or twice in my life. Pretty sure I was going to die in that moment. And well, what I thought about in those moments were everyone that I had hurt. Everyone that I was a fucking asshole to. Even those that probably deserved it in some quotes of my own bias. Even the stranger that I didn't know, or someone that may have deserved it and started the shit with me. That's who I thought about. That's what crossed my mind. Even the people that I knew that were dear in my life that I had crossed and hurt, or just plain been a prick to. That's what I thought about. Now, thankfully, it wasn't my last breath, so I don't know how accurate that is for some sort of test or litmus test for what that might be. I have always been quite curious to the information that we discover through research when we talk to people that are dying, or when we talk to old people that perhaps are at the end of their life any day now. My ears perk up like my dog Grace hears a squirrel. If I hear an older person begin to talk and lay out their thoughts about what life has been or what the most important thing is, I tend to listen a little bit more than I do if some guy is ranting on a podcast like this one. Because I just feel that maybe they are closer to those last breaths and perhaps the constructs that have infected me and anyone else too, perhaps are maybe fading away in some time, or maybe they've been so ingrained over the time that that is what makes that advice come from that person. So they've learned to sell us the experience, and for those of you pompous pricks out there that say, I don't buy things, I have experiences, good for you. Those experiences cost money most of the time, too, because I, too, was one of those pompous pricks and often still resort to that pompousness. Or perhaps you are the one that represents and buys the S-Class or whatever car you believe reflects the success that you've earned through your hard work and dedication, even though we can't take any of that shit with us. Oh, but we can leave it to our kids, right? We can leave it to our loved ones. We can leave them all the shit that we can't take with us that perhaps burdened us along the way too. And now they can deal with that. Perhaps that too is a selfish gain in some way. I'm going to go left field here, but you know, as parents, perhaps we all strive to give a life to our children or your children that you never had. And well, in doing so, we remove the struggle from their life that perhaps we naturally need in order to move forward or grow. Without resistance, I believe that the human psyche will find something to struggle against. Perhaps this is the reason for the rise of the mental health issues we see today. And we'll leave out the fact of over-diagnosing and over-prescribing and over-treating. We'll leave that out in this conversation. But perhaps there is a rise in some way. I mean, we do bring awareness to mental health most every other day, but I don't know, or I do wonder many times how much that awareness of mental health just creates more mental health issues. What we now know and our thoughts then become things. Now that we know something, we can understand, well, we're being affected by that, right? They tell you not to Google your medical symptoms. Perhaps you shouldn't Google your mental symptoms. But now that we're all aware of mental health out there, that perhaps we are a little too aware of what may just be our natural fluctuating human existence. But back to the parenting part of providing a life that you never had in some way. Well, this too, if you ask me, is a selfish gain in some fashion to be able to say, look what I have done. Look what I have provided for you. Don't I feel good? And in some way, at the end, we've actually deprived our children of the struggle of something that they needed, and the struggle they needed to face in order to grow. Maybe we've given them all the experiences we wish we had as kids. We've taken them to all the theme parks. We've traveled the world. We've sent them on missions. We've done all of these things that research says. We have created experiences. And maybe there's nothing left for them to really value. I don't know. And I know there's two sides to these coins. Don't get me wrong. If not a third. Yes, a third side to a coin. I get that. There's pros in travel. There are pros in creating a quality of life for our children that also extend beyond the boundaries of self-gain. And I understand this too. I'm not knocking that. I'm just merely pondering the other side that is, well, perhaps not often thought about. And so I go back to this rat race that we are in quotes. You know, I talked a little bit about, you know, the quote that do what you love for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. For those of you, the lucky one or two or three or 10% or whatever it is that actually does what you love for a living and you don't feel like you work a day in your life, you are blessed. And I am so very happy for you. But the other 90% maybe or whatever the figure is that don't do what they love for a living or perhaps do what they love for a living, and then realize that that too becomes a job. And that's why I say the quote should actually say, make sure you do what you love for a living, because when it comes a job, you're going to need that passion to continue to push forward when it does eventually become that job. And I hear you in my head, mother, telling me there's no perfect life. But perhaps that's a cop-out. Maybe if we believe that, we can't build a perfect life. Or perhaps that's just a bit of stoicism preparing us for what the inevitability of life is. But sometimes I step back and I see the board rather clear. But I don't want to see it clear sometimes, and at least clear from my perception, because if you've known anything about this podcast, what we perceive becomes our truths, but we'll leave that to the left, and you have 240 other episodes to listen to in some fashion to find out what I mean by all that. But we chase the money. We chase the acquisition, or we chase the experience. And this is why I preface this point with that long in left field and squirreled off entry, if you will, or preface about I get experiences and I get trading the things in for experiences, but that too, again, costs money. But whatever it is that you are chasing, the experience, the concert, the travel, the home, the car, the ego, the bias, the ability to say, look what I have done as a parent, whatever that may be that you thought perhaps would be your final breaths, at least those thoughts and those final breaths, I step back and I look at, well, the more money we tend to make in some fashion, the more stressed out we tend to be, unless you're one of those lucky ones that, well, I don't know, do a podcast and do stand-up comedy and make millions of dollars doing so and doing what you love. Again, congratulations to the top 10%. But a lot of times the people that do live that life get so detached that they don't realize what life is like for the other 90%. That it's hard to just dump everything that you're doing, and I'm not suggesting that either. I'm only pondering, well, what I see in my perception of the moment. And as we begin to gain money or houses or be able to afford the experiences, even if you're vagabonding as well, because if you're vagabonding from country to country, taking side jobs to pay for the next trip to the travel to somewhere else, well, as if time is running out and I must go to every country in the world and then I will have accomplished what I need to do and I will check it all off because I will be well-traveled, I'll be well-knowledged, I will have read all the books I've wanted to and gained all of the competence and experience. Whatever that is, my point is the stress begins to build up in some fashion. I've done multiple podcasts about stress itself, on how stress isn't an actual thing, but yet what is created from the things that we are chasing, whatever that may be, or, well, maybe the person we are chasing to be. as that stress begins to build up in some fashion, let's just stick to the money part perhaps for this moment because it's easier. As we begin to stress that money, we get used to a quality of life, we get more things, we may make 200 grand a year, but we spend 300 and we know we're supposed to save, but we're not. Then we have to pay for this, and health insurance is coming. You can't live life without health insurance, and you're moving forward. You have your third child on the way. The first one's headed to college, right? The stress of the money, of the quality of the life. And the number one killer, if you ask me, on this planet, probably the silent one, is stress itself. What stress does to the body itself, mentally, physically, can be devastating. It just happens to be the heart attack that takes us out, or the overeating caused by stress that takes us out, or perhaps just the lack of time to take care of ourselves that exists in the majority of this society that we currently live in now. And so you chase your tail, getting to the next house, to the next experience, to the next vacation, to the next whatever yours is. Knowing you can't take the experiences with you, as far as we know, you certainly can't take the stuff with you, as far as you know. And then before you know it, it's over. Perhaps over younger than you meant to, because you didn't have time to take care of yourself, or perhaps you didn't do what you loved for a living long enough, or didn't quite get lucky enough either. I think so many people that find themselves successful rule out the idea of, well, luck and being in the right place, knowing the right person at the right time. I think too many people perhaps get arrogant about their hard work and start making t-shirts or sending out quotes and say, look, with all the things I've acquired, all by only my hard work and only by my own thought, and give no love to either those that came before you or those that have helped you along the way, because someone has, including the clients that you may be getting money from to sell all of your goods or products or services or whatever it is. There's a little bit of luck in all that, but hard for me not to back up and look at that rat race that we are in, at least in this side of the country and some other places in the country, where in other places people are just hoping they can have clean water and fucking food. Perhaps just positive imagery would work well for us, as The Secret has told us. But as Chappelle destroyed in the stand-up, he said, well, if that's the secret, perhaps we could just go to one of the starving people in some place around this country, or even starve in the United States, and say, look, you just need to have some positive imagery. Picture some mashed potatoes and gravy. Right. But I step back at that board. And that comes back to the other video I did, the podcast that posted a few episodes ago, Taking Chances, right? About what did you want to do? If you could do anything in your life, what would you be doing right now? What do you love, essentially, right? Adam, I can't do what I love. There's no way to make money at it. Well, or is there just no way to sustain the quality of life you're used to, or the ability to say, look what I've done as a parent and provided as a provider or a parent if I choose to do what I love? And there goes back to the idea of, well, all good things in life are free, and love is one of the best things that we can get, typically for free. But I don't know, if you get unemployed for a while and you don't provide that quality of life, perhaps your other half may walk out on you. Not quite sure. Maybe, maybe not. But if you could be doing anything. You see, that too, to me, gets to me sometimes. Do we have to pick the one thing? You can do multiple things, right? But this tail chasing of acquiring the experience, of acquiring the stuff, the things, the status, just the feeling to say, look what I've done as a parent or as a significant other or as a community activist. We've changed rules. We've changed communities. All of those things are chasing something in some fashion, our tail inevitably, really, because at the end, those things don't come with us. And maybe I could give you a quote that we are truly remembered for how we treated people and our character more than what we've acquired and what we've experienced. But in those last breaths, would you go, well, thank God I traveled to that place and I got my bucket list done. If that would be your last thought, then perhaps I would suggest you drop everything you're doing now and just do your fucking bucket list. If that's what you think your last thought would be, thank God I checked off those places, then why waste time and go do that now? But don't get too stressed out if you can't get it all done, because that may end you too. This is the circle that I ponder, at least in this construct, in the society that we live in. There'd be another construct if it wasn't this one. But it's hard for me to just see it and go, okay, back to work tomorrow. Let's find a way to make another dollar so I can have that experience that I love so much. Well, it takes money to run a business, Adam. Well, it also takes money to have experiences. Eventually, you can have some experiences, but you may run out. And Jersey has joined us there on the back end of the podcast briefly. They certainly understand when the garage door opens up to the backside of the studio. But these are the thoughts that I ponder as I go in circles often in what to do. Jersey is not being hurt, I promise you that. That is the little Los Opso in here who's just hoping Mom will walk back in the door shortly. Nothing is happening, I promise, but sorry for the left end of the podcast to take me out of that little loop there. I may circle back on a couple things, but do you ponder those things? Do you ponder what is life really about? Find purpose. It's something someone will tell you as well. Find purpose in some way, and well, then with that purpose, you can find meaning, and then you're placing it, and okay, we can fake that too, or it has to be real meaning in life, right? But we too, if you had to, could step back and see that this too is a construct that we've just merely created, right? That also is the beauty of life, that we can create meaning and purpose in just about anything we'd like to do or something we love. These are also my own thoughts, by the way. I'm quite transparent on my own podcast about the things that I ponder in life and what I'm experiencing, what I'm doing, and the choices that I've made in my life, and what I think about doing, what I think I should be doing, to use a word that I say you shouldn't use. I find that funny to say it twice. But for some perspective in life, I think, is why I asked that question. If it was your last breath or breaths, what would those thoughts be? A night I'm probably always going to remember, at least I hope to remember. It was my birthday night a couple days ago, May 29th. Had a wonderful party out at the beach, a place I love to be with a bunch of friends I love to be with, some new friends, some family, their little ones, and just having, well, a grand old time out there at the beach, a place I frequently go to. And, well, toward the end of that night, Patricia and I found ourselves laying on our backs. As I asked her to lay down, I said, lay down with me right here. And we stared up at the sky. And we ran in the clouds, really. And no, we were not on psychedelics. But as we looked up, I started to say things like, do you see how nothing really matters here? I've often told people, if you're finding yourself too serious or taking yourself too serious or the things going wrong in your life, walk outside, try to get some clearing, and look up at the sky, and perhaps you will see how insignificant you really fucking are. And a lot of times that helps our problems seem like, well, who gives a fuck? And I laid there and I ranted and cognitive rampaged for a while as we put our feet up toward the sky and our hands up toward the sky, and it looks like some sort of animation, really. It doesn't look real, but what it really is, you start to really see what it means when people say success and accomplished and what I've bought and look what I had and look where I've went and look where I've gone and look at all the things I've done. Look at what I am doing. Look how wonderful of a parent I am. That it really doesn't mean anything unless we want it to mean something. I do love that power. I'm not trying to take you down melancholy road here and make you, well, lose your fire about whatever it is that you're chasing, because if it's moving, you move it and keep going toward it. But I guess what I'm saying is don't take it all so fucking serious, including your damn self. or when it gets bad, or when it gets good, or if you failed, or if you get divorced, or if your kid won't talk to you, or if they're upset at you, or they do something wrong, or you've, well, made mistakes, or you're losing your business, or your home, or you just bought a bigger home and two more cars in the boat, and you've just been to that one festival you've always wanted to go to. Good for you. But don't boast too much. And when it goes shitty, don't get sad too much, because truly, this is a short existence to which we live. And again, lay on your back and look up. And just ponder, what does it all really mean? Success. Accomplishment. Because in the stream of the entire existence of ours, we're just a bleep on the radar of time, really. And I guess, well, that makes me feel good. And I know it sounds possibly, well, solemn to you, maybe not, but it makes me feel good to lay there and go, it won't matter what car I'm driving. It won't matter how many books I sold. It won't matter. Even the people I helped, it may matter in their lives for a little bit, made me feel good about myself. These are good things. Or when we've lost a little something or gained a little weight, or made a bad decision financially, whatever that may be. It's not that big a deal. It's all part of the life that we are living in this moment, right? And that's all we really have is the moment in front of us. So maybe you can ease up on yourself a little bit and try to find comfort, like I found comfort in that thought. When I do think about what my last thoughts will be, my last breaths, there's a great book, Tuesdays with Maury, another great book called The Last Lecture. I love to read those two books. Again, my fascination with those that are near their end of life, or those that know the end of life for them is coming soon. Tuesdays with Maury, they turned into a movie, but it's a great book to read about, well, his life as he knew it was coming to an end, as well as the other book, The Last Lecture. I don't know why I'm fascinated with those thoughts fully, but I guess it's me just trying to find what those answers are like at the end of that. Perhaps trying to work my chess move backwards to whatever I find in the evidence of what I'm finding, of gathering what people say at the end of their lives, knowing that it's going to end, and be able to trace that back to what I am supposed to be doing currently. And really, it all just boils down to we all have our own wars and our own minds that we are at war with, essentially at war with ourselves. And what we're supposed to become, and the pressures of being a parent. I know, I hear you. You have to provide. You got to do this. Got to make sure. And I hope you take it serious enough to realize that is someone's life in your hands, and you are making other people that will grow up to be people, and hopefully you don't make another asshole. But even if you do, as long as you didn't do anything crazy like beat them and abuse them, for the most part, it's probably just genetic or just a phase and maybe they'll change. But don't put it all on you either. You certainly can't put all the good that they do on you. I guess you can't take all the bad either. But I know that's a difficult subject for a lot of people, which is why I'm going back to that one. I just wonder if maybe I take myself too serious too much, as if the purpose we are have been given here will be revealed one day and you have to live up to that, as if we're in some race here, right? The race is long, but in the end is only with yourself. I'm seeing that more and more as I get older. It's just my own war in my own head, back and forth, of what I should do, what I shouldn't do, what I'm supposed to do, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. I certainly have found out as I got older how much of an asshole I was to people when I was a teenager. And, well, I guess I could say my 20s as well. And I do apologize to all of you that I was an asshole too. I can use this podcast to do so because, well, if those thoughts happen to come back to me at my final breaths, and I know they're coming, at least I can say, please listen to podcast 241, where I apologize to you. But maybe my mom was right. There is no perfect life, no perfect choice. I guess I'm just pointing out the entire chessboard as I see it. Chase the experience if it makes you happy. But again, right? I can hear somebody going, hey, whatever makes you happy, do that. But are we to live in some oblivious state of happiness constantly? Are we to walk around and just be woohoo all the time? I mean, this would be irrational as fuck. But yet we think one day, if I just get that, if I just get through this, if I just have that experience and check off this and that and the other, then I will be happy for life. If I just fall in love, if I just get out of this relationship, if I just find that thing, whatever it is, if I just do what I love for a living, and then I'll be happy, so saith the quote. But understanding, we cannot walk around in some oblivious state of happiness constantly. You can wear the face and do the things and have moments and try to be positive. These are good tools and things to do. Sure, I'm with you. But I guess I'm just trying to point out to myself, and maybe you listening right now, that well, look at the board for what it really is. Whatever it is you're chasing, whatever it is or whoever it is you think you're supposed to be. Perhaps the courage that I talked about from that quote there is the courage to see the board as I see it or as you see it, and well, keep putting one foot in front of the other, knowing we will make mistakes, knowing that we will feel despair, knowing that we may achieve a dream or a goal or a moment or have happiness, like waves hit the ocean in and out. There's nothing much we can really do about that. But again, lay on your back and look up. Put your feet up and your hands up in the air like Patricia and I did, and be like a kid again. I miss being like my niece Scarlett is. My brother told me that she went out for a run with her big sister Seneca and my sister-in-law Noelle, and she had to put on her wings, her favorite boots, her soccer jersey to go for a run. Well, because damn it, that's what she wanted to wear. I miss being a kid like that. I don't really remember it much, to tell you the truth, but I know there was probably a moment or two I had in my life where I acted like that kid. I used to have a thing about putting things on my head, like hats and bows from presents, baskets, whatever. Perhaps that's the mind frame I'm trying to find here, because I can take a perception and, well, flip it over and put it on my head and make it whatever I want it to be. But that happiness where you just didn't give a real true fuck. Not the old person, I don't give a fuck, or I give this many fucks with some gift that means zero. But maybe that kid, I don't give a fuck. Or they're like, what? I'm wearing my wings for this run. Maybe that's the secret after all. Maybe the secret is held within the little ones we see walking around that are oblivious and only really care about staring at their hand for the moment because it's the most fascinating thing they've ever seen. And maybe the answers I'm looking for really aren't at the end of this thing when we've been put through the ringer of life. The despair, the successes, the victories, the losses. The surprise, you've been in a car accident on Tuesday. Maybe the end of this life isn't where we should be looking for the answers, but yet at the beginning of life, before our constructs infect them, and our own biases as parents infect them, and the societies and communities and social media and marketing begin to shape them into who they think they're supposed to be. Is there really any escape from that whatsoever? I don't know. Do you find the freedom in the vacations? See, I've often kind of, well, chuckled a little bit when I hear somebody go, man, when I'm at that place, whatever it is for you, there's not a care in the world. well, why wouldn't you live there? Seems pretty logical to me. Well, the kids, the mortgage, the business I built, the things I got to do. Or maybe that place is only like that because, the other place you're in most of the time. As I promise you, if you lived on a deserted beach or in the mountains somewhere, after a while, you're going to get a little weird. And you're going to want to see some people. Maybe even a city. Now, again, I'm back to there's no perfect life, right? Or perhaps the perfect life is thus the imperfection of the life that we live, thus making it the perfect life. Well, at least we can choose that perception if we'd like, right? So set goals. Achieve. Get to bed early. Get your 9 hours. Get up early. Let me show you a picture of the 4:30 in the morning that I wake up. Go for a run. Take care of yourself. Achieve. Go for goals. Cut the dead weight, friends. And all this shit they tell you you're supposed to do to be like them. I don't think Scarlett really gave a fuck when she put her wings on to go for a run. What fucking time it was. To extend on that, it's quite difficult to take care of yourself and the 9-to-5 life that you have to live, and including the entrepreneur life. When you're living the entrepreneur life or the 9-to-5 life, it doesn't matter. You tend to work more as an entrepreneur, I promise you that. You eat, sleep, and breathe your business. But you take the 9-to-5 life, 8-to-6 life, whatever the fuck it may be, and flip those hours around, first, second, third shift, whatever. You throw that in there. If you really walk through it, trying to find the time to do it right. You leave work at 7 o'clock because you got to go through traffic to be there at 8. You're stressed out in traffic, an unnatural place for us to be, by the way. I mean, road rage, this is easy to figure out. We're caged animals inside of a vehicle, high-stress environment where you could die. Yeah, get it. So you do that 5 days a week, 2 hours of your life, 5 days a week sitting in that shit. Then you work your 8-9 hours or overtime if you really got to put in some time. Then you drive another hour through the traffic to get home. And maybe you're home by 7, right? You got to somehow eat dinner, spend time with the kids, find the time to get into the gym too, right? And get that hour in there, half an hour or whatnot. Now you got to get your 8 hours sleep. So make sure you somehow fall asleep right after all that. Get your 8 hours in. So I guess you got to get up at, 4:30? So you're in bed by 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, well, nope. That only gets you to 4 o'clock. You need your 8 hours. So you get up at 5. You go to the gym by 5:15 if you can make it there that fast. You work out to 6:15. You come back. You got 45 minutes to get dressed, eat breakfast, say hello to the wifey or the husband, say hi to the kids, perhaps have a coffee. Who fucking knows? Get back in the car by 7. Go down to work for 7 hours, 8 hours. Get back in the car. Come back and do it again. Try to take care of yourself along the way. And don't forget, you got to have time to take care of your relationship. So you got to find time to go on dates. You got to talk to your other half, your partner in life, about what they're doing. Well, you may have to go to a therapist somewhere in between there too. Oh, well, you got to take the kids to t-ball. You got to take them to volleyball, somewhere in the middle of all that. And people wonder why we're obese. The fucking life is hard. Being an entrepreneur, sure, you can make your own hours at least, but you're going to work 70 hours a fucking week. And when you go to sleep, you're going to worry about that pay balance sheet. You're going to worry about if the product sells, if the marketing campaign is working. Now you've really added a lot of stress to your fucking life because your bills depend on your own actions. But hey, at least I can set time aside of my own schedule to get that gym in. Do you see, I'm only pointing this out because 6 dozen are half the other, as we say in the South, right? What does it really fucking matter? Call it 6 dozen, call it a half a dozen, call it six or call it a half a dozen, I should say, excuse me. It's the same fucking thing. So this is the imperfection of which is the perfect life, or the infection of the constructs of our society that we have chosen to live based on what marketing has told us we are supposed to be and what we have convinced ourselves we are supposed to be as parents, as people, as spouses, as sons, as daughters. You find the downs on each side here. But yet, do what you love for a living. And then when you do that, you'll not work a day. Well, perhaps if we just give up the quality of life in a fashion. I don't know. I think I'm going to go outside now and lay on my back in the grass to remind myself when I look at this guy, it doesn't fucking matter. It only matters to us for the moment. And I guess that's why I'm trying to be a lot nicer to people than I used to be. Because in my last breath, to which I thought they were, that's all I could think about was, shit, I was an asshole to that person. Maybe that's the trick, to be a little bit less of an asshole. And don't forget to wear your wings when you go for a run. And the courage to face that unknowing of what life is supposed to be is the one foot in front of the other. I still think it's funny to this day. One of Joe Rogan's funniest bits, really. It's real quick. That we're monkeys on a spinning rock in space and nobody's talking about it. That shit's funny to me because it's fucking real. Does it really matter? I hear Carlin now in the back of my head, George Carlin saying how arrogant we are that we have to save Mother Earth as if she needs us to save her. Quite full of shit we can become too, huh? Maybe plastic, he says, is the whole reason of our existence, just so Mother Earth could have plastic and make it a new element into whatever new Earth will be. Because Earth will more than likely be here, even if it floods, even if global warming floods everything else. If an asteroid hits here, sure, it could blow it up or shrink it to size, but for the most part, it'll be here. We just might not be able to live on it, right? So all of these disasters, think about all of these things that make activists have to move and be upset. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the small little things and the small little hurts that people suffer, the suffering that goes around the world, that maybe if we can just ease the suffering of one another or the little parts that we can, maybe just to make it a little easier for somebody in their world, maybe that's the ticket. Maybe that's the key, right? But then we have to be relying on everyone else to reciprocate. I don't know. I know I'm going to look for my wings before I go on a run from now on, though. I think my little niece Scarlett's got it right. Maybe all the little babies got it right till we infect them. And marketing does. And constructs and mean-ass bullying online and whatever the hell else it is. I don't know. But I hope you still continue to find the courage to put one foot in front of the other, despite what it's supposed to be, and if anything, I'm merely thinking out loud and pondering my own existence out loud, wondering what I might do next, versus what I should do next, versus what I want to do next, versus what I can do next. Interesting. At least if you're aware, at least you're chasing your tail, you know what it is. And I do wonder what you will think in your last breaths, and I do wonder what I will think when my last breath comes. Maybe I won't think anything at all. Maybe I'm just going, shit, I hope I don't die right now. I don't know what that'll be. But until those days come, I hope you continue to find the courage to move forward, to put one foot in front of the other, to be a little nicer, to maybe apologize to the people that you were an asshole to, or maybe that you think deserved it and you did nothing to. It's still okay to apologize to them too. Because we're all just monkeys on a rock spinning in space, acting like we got this shit figured out. But we don't. Maybe that's what we should tell our kids. Hey, I ain't got this shit figured out. Nobody really does. Rather than pass down our own biases and constructs that have been pushed upon us that we've concreted to be who we are. Maybe we just say, hey, hope you figure out something, because we're all trying to figure out what that purpose is. Maybe that's it, huh? I don't know. But I do hope you're taking care of you. I hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Appreciate you being with me tonight and listening. I enjoyed this podcast very much this evening. Have a good night. Have a good day if you're listening to this on iTunes or somewhere else and I'm sitting in your earbuds or in your car on a drive or a journey. Hope you can at least smile at some of this. And by the way, don't forget your wings when you go for a run. I love you. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you've been living your cognitive rampage. Love you.